My name is Mike Murtha. Next to me is Ed Schmidt. I'm not sure that came through, did it? I might start over here. I'd like to say hello and welcome to our show. You're listening to Trigger Happy Memories on WPCA Radio 93.1, downtown Amory, Wisconsin. My name is Mike Murtha. Next to me is Ed Schmidt. We've both been cleaning up after a nasty storm that hit northern Wisconsin. And we still have wood chips in our hair, don't we, Eddie, from all the running chainsaws. Sure. But tonight it's all about music. So it's live music and some lively stories, and most of the stories are true, so hope you enjoy that. This is a live presentation. We will be singing and playing acoustic guitars, and Eddie will be playing a steel guitar. And each month, we feature a guest from the area to share some music and some stories. Tonight, folks, we have Al Drinkman. I'm not kidding you. You heard me right. Al Drinkman is with us. We're excited about that. So sit back and listen. Tell your friends and neighbors this is small-town, hometown, old-fashioned radio, just the way we like it, and we hope that you do too, and we hope that we trigger some happy memories. Let's get started. Once again, I'd like to say this is Trigger Happy Memories in Amory, Wisconsin, and we do this. We're on every Thursday night, and the last Thursday of each month, we have a guest, and we have a new show. So this is a new show again. We've got Al Drinkman here with us, and Eddie is sitting here ready to play some music. How you doing, Eddie?
Oh, pretty good. I think I'm getting pretty good at running that chainsaw.
Boy, yeah, it was an awful storm, wasn't it?
Not good. Worst that'll. A friend of ours, Harold, said for him being 90 years old or above 90, he said he'd never seen nothing like that in his life with all the trees down. So
we have a cabin on Lake Magner, and we got hit too, but nothing major. We had some trees down, but nothing hit our cabin. Our little shed got a tree on it, but I got it off without damaging the shed. So yeah, it wasn't a lot of fun, but we're here
and everybody's at
that's right
upright. So
and what is it that Briscoe Darling says, if you got time to breathe, you got
time for music.
Yep, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to enjoy some music. But last week, Eddie, we were at the Legion in New Richmond for the Fun Fest in New Richmond. That was fun. And then we went to Prairie Farm on Sunday morning and played for their ecumenical church service.
Yep, outdoors there and had a beautiful day. It wasn't too hot yet in the morning there.
Beautiful day. Yeah, Danny Armstrong was with us. And when the night before, we went to Shirley Halliburton's 70th birthday party. That was fun.
Yep, there at the Eagles. That was fun.
And her nephew, Mark Starry. Is that how you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, very good. Very talented player. At a three-piece group. And I'd like to see if we can get Mark on our show sometime. If we can
get that would be a
maybe
good
through
idea.
Shirley or something like that. But we've been busy, been active. And But like I said earlier, we've got Al Drinkman with us. So, Al, hello there, and welcome to our show.
Hello, good to see you guys.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. We've been doing this for almost 3 years, we have had so much fun just gathering all of our old friends and musician friends and playing some music and sharing some stories, and so we tracked you down. You were on our wish list, too, and we're glad you're here.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yes. Something we ask everybody, we find it interesting, I hope it is, I hope you find it interesting to answer this question, but what inspired you to play music when you were a young lad or whenever you started? Can you think of what?
I guess just the need for, I thought I was going to do it kind of for a living, so, and I did.
Sure.
For 5 straight years. I don't really know what inspired me. Probably the need for money or the illusion that I was going to have money.
How did you learn how to play the guitar?
Well, I still don't know how to play the guitar.
That's not true.
But, well, I just learned, my kid brother Spunk and me started the band, if you could call it a band. We had no money, no talent, but we wanted to do it. So we, Spunk got an old set of drums, one of them $65 things. The cymbal had a big bite out of it. But he never played the cymbal anyway, so it didn't matter. Then he didn't know what he was doing, so every song was rat-a-tat-tat on the snare drum, mm-hmm. rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat-tat. And then at the end of the song, he'd reach up and ping that cymbal with the bite out of it. And I sang out the guitar amp, so it was a rough start. And we worked for free, and we were still overpriced. But so I saw Tom Kaiser one night, and you guys know him, and you know he's a drummer. And I said, "What'd you think of me and Spunk?" He says, "I don't know. You got somebody, a drummer that can only play the snare drum." So I said, "This is how little I knew." I said, "How do you do that?" And he says, "Well, double time on the hi-hat." And so I went home and I told Spunk, I said, "There's more to this than the snare drum." And so him and I went through it, and here's what you got to do. Here's what Tom says you got to do. And Spunk ended up to be a very, very good drummer.
Yes, he was, yes.
It was just a bit of a rough start.
Well, I know when you guys... I started with John and Dave back, I think it was like 1970, but you guys were already out there for a couple of years ahead of us. And at that time, the bars were having, you know, bands, 2-3-piece bands, where I think before that, the bands were in dance halls, and they were playing, you know, bigger. But all of a sudden, the bar rooms were doing bands. And so we would come and see you guys as we were just getting started. You were at a couple of years ahead of us. And we learned a lot from watching you guys.
Well, you learned what not to do.
we enjoyed what you did. We'll come back, and we got all kinds of stories, but we want to have you sing a song, if you would, Al.
I'll try that.
Sure.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up, and she's running like never before. Speed's on the hill, well, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. I got my 10 forward gears and a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed the gym in white. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. It seemed like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. Well, I see she is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. Nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Yeah, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack and that smoke's just blowing black as coal. Hometown's coming in sight, and if you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home.
Well, there you go. That is Al Drinkman doing 6 days on the road. It's kind of the Sawyer Brown version, a little different tempo, but very nice.
That's
We talked about with Dave Dudley. You had met Dave too, and got acquainted with him a few times, and we were fortunate to know Dave Dudley, but Sawyer Brown had a nice hit on that song as well. But going back, we're talking with Al Drinkman here on the Trigger Happy Memories show. And what I remember, Al, the very beginning bands that you had, it was three of a kind when you added Sam Boatman to your group. And I thought that was that's where we really were inspired watching you guys. You were playing lead guitar, and Sam was playing bass, and of course Spunk was playing drums, but that was a good group.
Yeah, we'd switch off. I'd play bass, and Sam would play guitar. We'd switch back and forth.
Okay.
We were the best as a three-piece. Those were our best. You probably heard us at our best when Sam was with us as a three-piece. That was...
Sure.
We'd gotten rid of the... We had decent, better equipment. Used to be we had columns, and again, we had no money, and we saw that these other bands had columns, so we made some wooden columns and stretched Naugahyde over them and went to the junkyard and bought 8 speakers out of junk cars. Yeah. About 50 cents a piece. Stuck them in those columns, and we were somebody then. We had the amp was a Bogan. It was a Bogan amp, one of them, a little small, heavy thing. It ran on tubes. And when you'd start that thing, it would sound like a welder. and that was what drove those radio speakers.
Sure.
So you, Mike, heard us after we got a real PA?
Well, yeah. I don't remember. Yeah.
You don't remember the radio?
I don't remember that, no. But I do remember. I think, matter of fact, we started playing at some of the same places that you had already played at for a couple of years. One, I think, was in Hammond at the Wolf's Den.
Sure.
Used to play there once in a while. And Eddie's got a bad memory of the Wolf's Den, don't you?
Yeah.
Tell us
and
what happened.
Them cops, they don't like it when you back right up on the sidewalk and you unload your equipment. And they go by and say, get that thing off of there and I'm going to talk to you. And I think the night before I got a ticket for being 6 miles over going to the Straight Eight to play. That night he gave me another $28 ticket for parking on the sidewalk. I wasn't making much money that weekend.
We saw you at the Wolf's Den. Did you ever play the K&K bar in Clayton?
Every Friday.
That's what I thought.
Probably 5, 6, 7 years every Friday.
I think we used to go up and see you there. The Red Rooster probably for...
Never the Rooster.
No?
We had a circuit. We at that time when Sam was with us, we were making a full-time living at it. None of us had our wives supporting us. It was a real full-time living. So those days we played, we'd have the same place Friday night, same place Saturday night. We'd play 6 nights a week. And we had a nice little circuit, but the K&K in Clayton was our Friday.
Sure.
Yeah. So what day of the week was it when you played for Leo and Lorraine out at Stanton?
That was Sunday nights.
Okay.
Though we played Sunday morning... up on Highway 8, we'd do some gospel, and then we would go to all the way down to Ellsworth and play, and then from Ellsworth we'd come back to Stanton Star.
Stanton Star.
Your mom and dad played there in the afternoons, Eddie, I remember by Sunday night you were really shot after you played.
Oh, sure.
But I always look forward to Eddie. He was about 3 foot nothing. And he'd come from the bar. In those days, they put that sweeping compound on the dance floor. And Eddie would come. I'd wait for him. He was there because Bill and Idell, I think they were the Hay River
Sweethearts. Yeah.
They played that afternoon, so they dragged Eddie along. They probably didn't have a babysitter, but he was just... And I'd wait for him, and he'd start out at that bar, and he'd come, and he'd hit the one edge of that dance floor on his knees, and he'd get all the way to the stage. And then he'd be looking up at me, so proud. So that was always so thanks, Eddie. That was always a high point at the end.
Always
of
like
the
to entertain the folks.
Yeah. There's some things we just don't forget, do we? No. This is WPCA Radio 93.1 in Amory, Wisconsin. And like I mentioned earlier, we have Al Drinkman with us here sharing some music and some stories. But Al, you grew up in the Glenwood, went to school in Glenwood, is that correct?
Sure did.
Yeah, sure. And we share some of the same friends from that area too. We'll talk about some, we were just talking earlier about Franny Klatt. But we'll come back and talk about some of those things. But I want to see if you could sing another song for us.
All right. Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Well, I guess that I'm doing fine. It's been so long now that it seemed like it's only just the other day. Oh, ain't it funny now how time slips away. How's your new love? Well, I hope that he's doing fine. I heard you told him that you were gonna love him until the end of time. Well, that's the same thing that you told me. Seemed like only just the other day. Oh, ain't it funny now how time slips away. Oh, Eddie, can you do this, Eddie? Gotta go now. Well, I guess that I'll see you around. But I don't know when though. I never know when I'll be back in town. Yeah, you remember what I told you, how in time you're gonna pay. Ooh, ain't it funny now how time slips away. Ooh, ain't it funny now how time slips away.
Well, very nice.
Al Drinkman. Nice job on that, Al.
Thank you.
Very nice. That was pretty.
Funny, when you start singing, I just remember that voice.
I remember
being a kid and listening to you sing.
Yeah.
Must have left a mark.
Oh, man. Permanent damage.
No, you made a big impression on us. And going back to when you had Sam Boltman, that was a good group. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Al, but we were brand new at this. We were playing in Grantsburg for, I think it was New Year's Eve, and you guys were across the street at another bar playing. And we knew you a little bit, but I think what we ended up doing is during one of our breaks, we each switched places. And our band went over and played it's on your stage for, 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And you guys came over and played on our stage.
Yeah.
And that's a long time ago. But
But
again, like Eddie said, I remember that voice and certainly made a big impression on us. It was lots of good memories.
Yeah, we remember we stayed up there that night. And you guys did.
We did, yep.
So Sam remembers that because you kept him awake all night playing country music.
Probably.
Yep, he told me that the next day.
Well, we were young and...
Oh, yeah.
But, so we're still dumb, but we were young then, so...
Had an excuse then.
Yes, but you have ran a nice business over out of Connersville for many years. And can you tell us a little bit about that? You did very well with your business.
Well, it was a feed business that in 1974 I started it out of the trunk of my car, and built it up. And in the late 80s, we bought our first building, started hiring people, and then in the year 2000. We bought a 15,000 square foot building in Connersville. It was the old elementary school. The gym we turned into a feed plant, and we had offices in the classrooms. And
I went to school there first, second, and third grade.
Yeah, you know. I know. When we cut that big tree down there, that was like they were going to tar and feather us for cutting that great, big, beautiful tree. But it was progress. We needed to put bins there. But that was so. It was a little bit of a rough start, but. It ended up good. My son then bought it. He started with us out of high school, he did some dairy nutrition stuff, and then he started with us. So he was hitting on the way to 40, and I was on the way to 60, and he wanted it, and I didn't. And
sure.
So we made a pretty good deal.
And it's a feed. You have a particular type of food for feeding young calves, is it, or something? Or
Dairy. And horse feed,
okay.
Dog food, chicken food, pig feed. Oh. We made it all. We made mineral, and we had our own NIR, near infrared reflectant spectroscopic scanner.
Okay,
not bad for a high school dropout, huh? and where we would test their feed, and
sure.
And then our computers would generate a ration based on their homegrown feeds, so they'd have a balanced diet. That was our dog and pony show, and it still is today.
Well, and it's Scott Heinbach, my good friend. He was your friend, still is, and your accountant. But he started to, I was asking him one time about this, and he said about the balanced diet. And of course, his dad is a farmer, but he's saying how important it is with any animal, of course. But you had, you know, did a lot of research to get it correct.
Yes.
And did very well with that. So
yes.
Yeah, good for you. That's
neat. It was funny because it's only in America. I dropped out of high school, and there was, for a stretch there, I had two people with master's degrees, two people with bachelor's degrees working for a high school dropout. Only in America.
Only in America.
Only in Connersville.
Oh, that's a great story, but congratulations. You did very well, and I think Sandy, your wife, had a lot to do with that, too.
Oh, yeah. She deserves a lot of the credit.
I believe that, yeah. Eddie, do you want to sing a song? We're going to get back to some music here.
Sure, I can sing one for us. And Nikki Edward there. One call, there she goes. There she goes. She's walking away. Each step that she takes brings heartache my way. He won her heart, I lost her some way. There she goes, she's walking away. If I hadn't cheated, if I hadn't lied, I'd be the one that's walking by her side. I love her still, and I guess that it shows. She's walking away. There she goes. Thank you.
If I hadn't cheated, if I hadn't lied, I'd be the one that's walking by her side. I love her still, and I guess that it shows. She's walking away, there she goes. She's walking away, there she goes.
Very good. That's Eddie Schmidt singing a drinking song called I Love Her Still. That was in there somewhere in that song, wasn't it?
That makes sense to me.
Yes. No, nice job, Eddie. Again, this is WPCA Radio in downtown Amory, Wisconsin. If you're just tuning in, this is Trigger Happy Memories, and we're having some fun like always. We got Al Drinkman here with us and sharing some good stories. Al, I was thinking about, we know a lot of the same people through the years. Denny Thorson was one that you were friends with, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Valley Boys?
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Kay Kaiser.
Yes.
And tell me, you had actually talked to Kay about what it would take to go and play, you know, make a living at music. He was doing it.
Well, he was, yeah, that was sort of my inspiration. I remember I said to him, do you make a living at this? And he said, well, not just barely.
So he was being honest, I think.
He was, yeah. It wasn't that easy, but that's what he chose to do.
Sure.
And then Tom, his brother Tom Kaiser, he played drums for me for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. And you traveled, you had an agent, did some things up in Canada.
Up in Canada, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. We played at the Royal Hotel for 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yes. And some other old friends that we have, Kenny Nelson. Kenny was a guest with us here.
Oh.
Brought his accordion in, and I think he brought my tuba, didn't I, that night, too, I think. So
Kenny rates for a tuba? What do I get? Where's your tuba?
Well, it's out in the car. I can go get it.
Don't bring it up.
No, I'll go get it. Hang on here. Just no. Of course, we talked about Sam Boatman. He was a guest with us as well. Earl Larson, you probably knew Earl, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I played with the Fandrays for a long time.
I remember when you were playing with him for a while.
Leroy Kaler and Leonard, Don Lindquist.
Sure.
Leonard T. Hall.
Yeah, sure.
And then Earl and Bobby Dubuque.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Leonard, I remember that. Seeing him playing out at the Valley House a couple of times, or talking to him. Yep, a good guy, good player.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Gordy Gilbertson, he played with the Fandrays at that time. That was a pretty good band at that time.
Oh yeah, yep. And of course, Spunk. I went golfing with him here a couple of years ago, and he was telling me that he pretty much carried you. If it wasn't for his excellent drumming all those years, Al would have never gotten
goodness.
As far as he did.
Yeah,
so.
I bet he cheated at golf, too.
Must have been a few years ago. I think we were on one of the years ago we had a motorcycle run for my older brother, Steve, and when we stopped at the K&K or whatever, it's Charlie's now or whatever,
yep.
But I saw this guy and he was walking in the other room and I thought, I know that guy, and I went up and asked him, and yeah, it was your brother, so.
Oh yeah, Spunk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might try a song here. Eddie, we recorded this here a while back. It's a song that Warren Shortus, Putz, had wrote with, we co-wrote this. He wrote a poem, I guess, and I added some more words to it, but it's called Down to the Bar. And it's basically talking about what's happened to these small towns across America, where the main streets have kind of dried up, and some of these towns have kind of, unfortunately, kind of disappeared from what we remember back in the, I suppose for us it would be the mid to late 60s. But it's a story about, we're at the end of Main Street, we're down to the bar. And it's basically saying that's about all that's left of this little town. But Eddie, if you can remember your intro, and then remember your lead part, and remember your harmony parts, and then remember the ending, too. So, you got that?
Yeah, I'll jump right on that right after I get my chainsaw sharpened.
Yes, get those wood chips out of our hair from the chainsaw. Okay. Key of D.
the odd in the window. It says welcome on the door. The hardware store is boarded up. The grocery store is gone. 4 o'clock is happy hour. 3 pickups in one car. We're at the end of Main Street. We're down to the bar. It seems that not so long ago, this was the place to go. Back before our plant got moved somewhere in Mexico. About that time, the school was closed. It's just the way things are. We're at the end of Main Street. We're down to the bar. Oh, how it breaks my heart to see it go this far. We cherish all the memories down to the bar.
Play the guitar.
Interstate a few miles out of town. Then came that big old superstore. That's where we're shopping now. We had a bank, a drugstore, and a dealership for cars. We're at the end of Main Street. We're down to the bar. Oh, how I miss those years. The streets were lined with cars. Now nearly all the shops are closed. We're down to the bar. Oh, how it breaks my heart to see it go this far. We cherish all the memories. Down to the bar. Down to the bar. Down to the bar.
Well, I'll buy that one.
Oh, thank you, Al. Yeah, it's a song. Putz, I got. We wrote another song together. He wrote a poem and wanted to know if I could do some music with it. And I told him after we did that, and it came out, you know, pretty nice as well. But, and I said, I've always loved small towns for some reason. We go on vacation. I like to drive through a small town and just see the old main streets. And I said, if you got some ideas about a small town, and he came up with this idea. I thought it was really a good idea. With we're at the end of Main Street, we're down to the bar, you know. So, it just a whatever contribute to all these small towns. But we've got a recorded song that Al did. I think maybe Al, you tell us about this one. It was in your basement with your son, I believe.
Yeah, this is my son Jeremy, who. He played with Section 8 for, excuse me, about 10 years. And he's a way better musician than I ever was. And he also has a degree in computers. So we did this CD, and on the CD it says recorded at First Floor Studios. And that just means recorded in our basement. And we sang, Jeremy and I sang all the harmonies, did the lead guitars, did the bass. I played bass on a number of it. I think on this one we're going to hear, I played the keyboards. But when you listen to this, this is what can be done without a studio, actually. This song, the neighbor lady, Karen Stoner, she was a nurse at the time, and she had a friend in Milwaukee who was the daughter getting married, so she said, can you sing? I sang this song for my oldest son Gary's wedding.
Oh.
And she said, can you record that song? She wanted something that the bride and the groom's parents and both of their parents could dance to at the wedding.
Sure.
So this is about kids getting older and leaving home. So she said she'd bake me two apple pies if we would do this. And we happened to be doing the CD at the time. So we, Jeremy and I said, well, let's do this. So we made this recording kind of in a hurry. And Karen, if you're there, you owe me one apple pie yet.
Okay.
That's Al Drinkman, and your son, is it Jeremy?
Jeremy,
yes. And it was for your son's wedding, Gary? Gary's?
Well, I sang that song at my son's wedding, but this is, the neighbor lady had a friend, and she wanted a song that the bride and groom's parents and, and both of their parents could dance to. So
very, very nice. And, very pretty.
And promised two apple pies, and I only got one.
I got one. Well, hopefully she's listening.
We're going to have to get that apple pie.
Yeah, we're going to. Yes. Did you write that?
Yeah, no, it's a. I wrote enough of the verses so that it would apply to if you had a daughter and a son.
Sure.
But it's an old late 40s song that we just changed around and made it fit a wedding.
Oh, very nice.
Thanks.
When did you discover you could sing? You were young, very young?
Well, I always pretended I could sing from the time I can remember. You know, I'd stand in the manger of the barn and sing and pretend that I was competing and all these people, and here I come, and I'm going to show you. And then I'd sing a song, and the cows would applaud and stand on their hind legs.
Oh, well, your voice.
place is still just as good as it always was.
Yeah, as good as it ever was.
Well, no, I'm saying it was good.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
No, you don't. Man. No, so I'm going to say hello to a few folks, and when I get done, if you can want to say hello to some folks, too, that hopefully are listening. I'm going to start with Lou Ann, who is the secretary and receptionist here at WPCA. She is so good about making copies of, and she's going to make a copy for you, too, Al, of this show. But she is does so well with the station, that works hard. But Shirley Halliburton, who was, we were at her birthday party, my wife Debbie, Heather, Gary McIntyre, the old Polka Buster himself, will be doing the Polka Busters August 11th, Eddie, in Hammond.
Hammond?
Yep, we'll be on top of that old ambulance. And
what a beautiful car.
Oh, yes. It, you remember the Ghostbusters? We have the Polka Busters.
Oh, no.
And we have a polka band that we put together for on the roof of this big old ambulance. But and a hello to Putz and to your brother Spunk, Dennis, here. Jim Bjorkman from Sunburst, Montana. Tom Klinger, originally from Glenwood area. I understand he's been tuning us in, and we appreciate that so much, Tom. We hopefully can get Tom to come in and be a guest with us as well. Edna Bjorkman just moved over west of Stillwater. Scott Nash, Uncle Bob. And Eddie, you got a few you want to say hello to?
Say hi to my wife, Joanne, and our neighbors, Al and Ann. They're always listening every Thursday. Say hi to Darlene and the boys and Tad Late and his wife. And you said hi to Jim Bjorkman, Brian Jevning from work, and the Cribbage boys, and the Cactus Cousins, and the Hunyucks, and everybody. Thanks for all you folks that are listening.
I know Greg Lane has been real loyal to listening to us from Rex Cactus Group there. But Al, you have anybody you want to...
No. If I start saying hello, I'll forget somebody, and then it's trouble. So
well,
no, I really have nobody.
You got enough trouble without starting that kind of stuff, right?
I sure do.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here. Are you up for singing another song?
I can do that. This is I just wrote this song. It's a gospel song that. It's just kind of about a man or woman who's on this earth, has nothing, none of the comforts, but knows that someday he or she is going to have it all. I just finished this Wednesday, so she's hot off the press. I'll be driving a Cadillac in glory. I'll be living in a mansion on the hill. My new life will be a brand new story, 'cause here on earth I'm doing my Lord's will. The wind blows in around the windows of my one-room shack. My 20-year-old car don't ever start, but I'm saving my treasures in heaven where no one can take them back. And I got the love of Jesus in my heart. I'll be driving a Cadillac in glory. I'll be living in a mansion on the hill. My new life will be a brand new story, 'cause here on earth doing my Lord's will. Eddie, can you do it? Every day's another day of living. Every day's a struggle getting by. I thank God my sins are all forgiven, and I'm gonna be a rich man when I die. I'll be driving a Cadillac in glory. I'll be living in a mansion on the hill. My new life will be a brand new story, 'cause here on earth I'm doing my Lord. Here on earth I'm doing my Lord. Here on earth I'm doing my Lord's will. My Lord's will.
That's very nice. Good gospel song.
Thank you.
Yes.
We ended up in the same room, too.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
I can't believe it yet.
Anyway, we'd have to learn this one when we do some of our church things.
Yeah, that would be a great one to have for the church services that we play for.
Would you mind if we would...
No, a little royalty here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe an apple pie or something we could send you.
An attaboy. Attaboy would be about good.
Sure, yes.
I'd be honored if you guys did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just having fun with you.
It's a nice song. You were with a group called Bootleg after you finished up your career with Three of a Kind. Can you share some of that with us?
We went from Three of a Kind, then Sam Boatman, he went off on his way, and then we started Two of a Kind. I played the bass pedals with my feet.
I remember that's right. Now.
And Spunk played the drum. We probably made more money during that era than ever, just because we could charge what a three-piece got, and there was only two. So we did that for a number of years. And then for a little while, I was one for the money. That was just me and an electric drummer. And boy, you earned the money. One for the money, you earned it. And then it became the Bootleg Band. And we had John Garden, John Siggins, Tommy Vanderpart, and me. And
Was that John Garden from the Music Garden in Hudson?
Well, it's John Garden, the bass player.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he lives in River Falls, I believe.
Okay, yep, but I just remembered that.
Yeah.
And, John Siggins, we knew John.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how we, and then that's when we retired. We ended up the best we ever were, and that's not a new story, but, you know, we finally got it right, and then we quit. Time to quit. Got this right. So, and I should mention, Before John Siggins and Tom Wyatt, it was Don Lindquist and Bobby Dix was on the drums, and Randy Holtz was on bass, and then Don Leonard T. Hall.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he played the lead. We did that for a long time. Then Don got in that accident on Christmas Eve, got paralyzed.
And, that's right.
And then, so then it ended up with the other four.
Sure. Yeah, and you did most of the singing, or did everybody share?
When we were two-piece, I did all the singing.
Right, I knew that, but with Bootleg...
It was pretty... I did a lot of it. It was pretty... It was sort of even. I did... It felt like I did most of it at that when, you know, you're doing five, six nights a week. It felt like I was doing all of it, but I wasn't.
I remember at my five-year class reunion, so that would have been 1981, and it was at the Legion up on the hill out of Glenwood there, and would that have been one of the Bootleg things?
Well, we played there a number of times for weddings.
Sanders hired you, and I remember, but I think I actually got up and played a little bit with you that night that you were playing there.
Oh, well, it's about time.
After you slid across the dance floor.
First I come sliding across the dance floor, and then I got up. No.
Took a bow, and then come up.
And then your son Jeremy was with Section 8.
Yes.
And they had a nice little run there, too, didn't they?
They were a six-piece, and they were terrific. With those guys, you either get there at 8, or you're not going to get a place to sit. Period.
I couldn't believe the crowds them guys could pull. It was just amazing. Great.
Yeah, and they started out not so good, and they ended up just really good. But they retired. Jeremy retired at about the same age as I did.
From the music,
from music.
And Tom Mortell's son, I believe, was in that group. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was.
Danny, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Phil Mounts, a keyboard player?
Yeah. Matt Main, Chris Main. And Jeremy, my son.
Sure. Okay, we're getting down here. You got another song in there, don't you? We can do.
I'll try this.
I bet you he could pull one out of the archives if he had to.
Well, it's called Black Sheep. Here's hoping. My daddy was a brakeman on a highball traveling train. Mama, she raised four little children. The family had a good name. Mama and Papa wanted all for us they never had. Big brother, little brother, sister too. None of them turned out half bad. Except me. I'm the black sheep of the family. Yeah, they drive me a big old semi-truck. I'm making payments on a two-room shack. My wife, she waits on tables, and at night she rubs my back. And I tell her what my papa said to my mama when he got on the highball train. Wake me up early, be good to my dogs, and teach my children to pray. Big brother went to college and became a doctor man. I guess he makes about $1 million a year off from folks on insurance plans. He got a big, long Mercedes Benz and a house overlooking the town. And he sits in his jacuzzi and he watches the sun go down. And feels real sorry for me. I'm the black sheep of the family. Yeah, they drive me a big old semi-truck. I'm making payments on a two-room shack. My wife, she waits on tables, and at night she rubs my back. And I tell her what my papa said to my mama when he got on the highball train. Wake me up early, be good to my dogs, and teach my children to pray. Little sister married a banker, and he owns a country club. He bought her a big old racing horse and a funny looking little dog. He buys her big rings and diamonds and a brand new Japanese yacht. And they like to get together and talk about all the things they've got. But they never mention me. I'm the black sheep of the family. Yeah, they drive me a big old semi-truck. I'm making payments on a two-room shack. My wife, she waits on tables, and at night she rubs my back. And I tell her what my papa said to my mama when he got on the highball train. Wake me up early, be good to my dogs, teach my children to pray. Wake me up early, be good to my dog, and teach my children to pray.
Oh, very good. That's Al Drinkman. Nice job, Al.
Thanks.
That's a good song, yes. We're going to have to wind it up here pretty quick. We're having way too much fun, but thank you so much for coming and joining here with us.
This is my great pleasure.
Oh,
thank
man,
you.
I hope we can do this again.
No.
Al's honest, you know what? You can just tell, you know, he's not going to... No,
well, hopefully no, I'd be happy to. It's a big honor.
Yeah, maybe we can do something that we were talking earlier about at some of the nursing homes.
Sure.
So we can gather you in there with some of that. So, and we want to say thank you to Bob Zonk here at WPC Radio for engineering again. And don't forget to tune in to Dave Corbett's show at Tuesday through Saturday, 6 till 9.
Great show.
Yeah, great show. And Saturday night, there's a Saturday night dance party hosted by Bob Zonk. It's aired every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. No, it's on Saturday nights. Eddie, you're looking at me kind of funny there.
No, I'm not saying a word.
No, it's a Saturday night dance party. Okay. It's a good show. Bob covers all kinds of good dance music, but we're going to have to leave. We'll be back next Thursday, so I hope you enjoyed it, and thanks again, Al.
Thank you.